Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
That's right, Judd's Hockey Show. Flyers 5, Wild 4. I told Declan not to dismiss the Flyers, but he wouldn't listen, so I've replaced him with my good friend AJ Fredrickson, who knows better than to dismiss any team in the National Hockey League. If I appear, AJ, to be slightly distracted, it's because I'm also trying to keep an eye on the Gophers and Canisius 1-0 Gophers in the first period. All right, Wild, get a point. I'll start off by saying this, very fortunate to get a point. For the most part, they played a terrible game after playing absolutely fantastic. I thought just a great back and forth game against the Devils a couple nights ago and earning the overtime victory. This time they go down in the shootout. The Freddie Goudreau magic doesn't work. Plenty to get to from this game, AJ. But I think we have to start. I saw someone on Twitter being a smartass, threw this out, suggesting that we talk about Matt Boldy. Well, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And by the way, I'm kidding, because it was actually Canisius tied it. Oh boy, it's one now. I think they scored an even strength goal. They've just been on a power play. That's not good. My quick
ribbing, if you don't mind me stepping in here, but I love when a college team shows up for big games, shuts out their opponents, puts up four in the first round of the NCAA tournament. St. Cloud State University Huskies just getting the job done today over Mankato.
Yeah, congratulations, because I just got a text from a friend. It was after that goal, it was one word and it started with an F. I'm going to let you decide what that word was. All right. So a lot to discuss about this game that we probably didn't like. Jaden, go Huskies. Poor Mavericks. But, you know, Matt Boldy, what is it now? I've got it in my notes here. I believe it's 8 goals in the past 7 games, 2 more goals tonight. He is omnipresent. May I suggest, I saw this tweeted, so I'm stealing it, but it was a good tweet. May I suggest that the Matt Boldy Marcus Johansson combination, AJ, is reminiscent of the chemistry that he developed with Fiala. Now, Matthew is scoring the goals instead of Fiala, but Johansson is sort of playing the role of Boldy. And boy, when you have the speed and the sense that those two have, the one goal, not sure about you, the Boldy goal, the second one to me, or no, I'm sorry. Hold on a second here. I've got it written down. I want to make sure I get this right. I think it was the first goal. Yes. The first goal.
Not the behind the back one.
Not the behind the back one, which is a great goal. But yeah, the first one came in the second period to tie the score at 2. It was Boldy's 24th of the season. And between periods, ESPN in the studio, Ryan Callahan, who played for the Rangers and Lightning, ran through it. But they do a good job of basically showing the play from the backside. And what I saw that was incredible was not only did Boldy get a pass from Eck and then make a great play to get Johansson the puck, but when you watch Johansson, his awareness age of what Boldy was doing, and like they just made a split second of eye contact. Johansson got himself in position to get the puck. Boldy then trails. You could sort of tell Johansson could feel his presence, right?
Yeah.
He has just been, this is why I get so down on Boldy when he's not playing well. He's got this in him. Now, maybe not this big of heater, but like, look at the plays he is making now. Look at the confidence. And Marcus Johansson has unlocked him. And, you know, the Hartman line, I saw some folks refer to that as the first line tonight. That ain't the first line. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, the first line is Eck between Boldy and Johansson. And there is no question, but this heater for Matthew Boldy, to me, incredibly impressive.
Yeah, he's kind of been, you know, suppressed throughout the month of February. I know they mentioned on the broadcast he didn't have a single goal. He now has 8 goals in the month of March.
No goals in 13 games.
I wrote that down.
9 goals now in 11 games.
Incredible how much he's just flipped the switch, and the acquisition of Marcus Johansson has kind of been the peanut butter to his jelly, as much as people want to save that combo for Kirill when he's healthy and Matt Zuccarello. This is maybe peanut butter and banana or something along those lines. He's been a monster. And like, I think what you said there probably makes the most sense, is that we're seeing more confidence out of him. I don't know what it was, and maybe I'm overlooking, or I'm overthinking this, in the sense where second line, he's like, I need to produce, but then he's getting his own head. He's a young kid, so he's putting himself in his own back pocket. So he's thinking, I'm at 6 goals without a, 6 games without a point. I'm a 7, 8, 9, 13 games without a goal. All it takes is one, and all of a sudden he's on fire. I don't peg you for a big video game guy, but if you ever know about the NHL hits games back in the day, like 2002, 2003, literally people turned on fire. That's Matthew Boldy right now. He's a man possessed. He goes out there and he's willing himself into almost at times video game like goals and plays and whatnot, the back behind the back. No, look, hey, if you're feeling confident when you're hot, why not take a heat check? Throw it towards the goal. I don't care if Carter Hart's in net, who does need to get out of Philadelphia at some point in his career. You're doing stuff that you weren't doing a month ago, and big credit to Marcus Johansson for helping unlock that. Even in the overtime, we saw that where he's dictating more of the play. And we saw that even at the end of regulation, he's kind of quarterbacking, and I'm sure that's due to the game plan, but he's taking it upon himself to control the play when they're in the offensive zone, whether it's power play or 5-on-5. He's become the focal point of that offense, and rightfully so with Kaprizov out. It's been awesome to see him kind of blossom now in this short span, where it seems like a month and a half ago, it was, wow, you know, a lot of discourse whether he really earned that big extension and whether he was the player that we thought he was, blah, blah, blah. This is the Matthew Boldy I think all Wild fans expect. And if he can keep this going, this team, once they get fully healthy, is going to be, I want to say, a force to be reckoned with offensively.
Yeah, I think that would start. So I agree completely. Boldy's confidence waned, and you could tell it goes down times. But I really think that's because he was with the wrong wingers. Like, they had him with what? I think he was with Foligno, who is a grinder now. You know, that's his skill. And Matthew Boldy has a skill set. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you watch this version, which in my opinion is a completely different version of Marcus Johansson since he came back from the Capitals, when you watch his skating ability, and he can make plays as well, and you could tell he thinks the game well, which I didn't realize the first time. And I know the first time here during what ended up being the pandemic shortened 2000, I think it was 21, they started in January. But I mean, that guy was not this guy, and Marcus Johansson has been great. And this is why when Dean doesn't ever mix up lines until he's super frustrated, it gets to me, because it's like Matthew Boldy, and we talked about that, and that, you know, I think I talked about this with Dex a couple nights ago, so I won't stay on the point too long and belabor it. But, you know, Sammy Walker and Boldy was better because Sammy Walker is as good as Johansson. He's not. But he had speed, and Johansson has speed. And look at what Matthew Boldy can do with someone that can create and someone that can move and someone that is moving at his pace. As much as I like him personally, Marcus Foligno doesn't move at Matthew Boldy's pace. Now, that's the good news. Boldy was great. Fantastic game. A lot to get to. A lot to unpack. I'm seeing comments in the comments section, and we certainly appreciate all those of you who have tuned in to Judd's Hockey Show with Judd and AJ. Thank you very much. I'm seeing some saying, hey, they got the point. Next game. I'm seeing some saying, what happened? And I don't disagree with that. but let's continue to unpack specific things. And I suggested this in the first or second period. And yes, Foligno scored a goal. I understand that. I almost don't care personally, but he scored a goal. but with Kaprizov out, I think you've got to at least consider juggling Foligno and Duhaime, who I think is more skilled than Marcus, and try Hartman, Zuccarello, Duhaime. They've got to get. And he did for a moment after Kirill got hurt, and now he's regressed again. It's not that I want a lot more from Hartman. It's Zuccarello. The turnovers are plentiful far too many times. The points aren't right now. You know, Matt Zuccarello doesn't have a license to disappear just because his best friend is out. And I think you've got to do something there. And I think the common denominator between, let's say, AJ Boldy's problems, because I'm almost positive Foligno was on that line for a while with Boldy and Ek. And Ek's just good. He's just solid.
Yeah.
But the common denominator to me is trying to force Marcus Foligno onto lines where it's clear that he's not the ideal fit. I think Duhaime has more skill and speed. I think I would at least as a small nod trying to get 38 going, I think I would flip Duhaime and Foligno for the next game. And quite frankly, with the way they played in the first period tonight, I don't understand why he didn't juggle a line or two tonight, but he didn't.
Yeah, the play early was, I mean, even after 65 whatever minutes and a shootout, I'm not sure this team deserved a point tonight. I think they're lucky to get that based off the play of Marc-Andre Fleury, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point. But to your point of flipping Brandon Duhaime and getting him on that top line, I mean, that's a guy who his motor just never seems to drop below like third gear. He's always moving. He's always churning. And whether or not he maybe has the skill set to convert on some plays,
right?
It's not I'm cocky enough to where I know I can try this. It's, I think I can maybe do it. And if not, I have a backup plan on how I can get myself out of trouble if it goes wrong. So yeah, he's got speed. We've seen what he can do shorthanded. I mean, I don't think it's a well-kept stat, but he has to lead the league in shorthanded breakaways. His defensive stick is pretty good. It's not maybe on the likes of Jonas Brodin on the back end or Jarrett Spurgeon, but for a forward, I mean, he gets the job done and he's able to be supportive. I would be interested to see that for a game, but I know, you know, the track record with Evason, I'm not sure he would make that move, let alone even consider it. It's just one of those, we've seen maybe the lack of adjustments, and you've mentioned it here already.
Yeah.
Even if you float out for one game to send a message, I don't think he even considers it, just because you know what Hartman has done in the past in that spot.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's just a quick conversation is probably the most they would do. I don't think we actually see doing aim up top, but I wouldn't mind seeing him up there for one of these games this coming week.
I don't consider it up top though. Like that Hartman line without Kaprizov is at best their second line right now, because the Ek line's the top line. And I mean, they got in crunch time in the third period tonight, you know, that Ek line was playing a ton. Boldy was out there constantly. Boldy, if I am correct, was probably logging third period minutes that would be akin to what Kaprizov gets, and he deserved it. Yeah. He was playing great.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think juggling the wings on that line is like, oh my God, we touched the first line. That's when Kaprizov's out, that is not the first line. No. And I'm just trying to find a way, in my opinion, if I'm Dean, I'm concerned about getting more from Mats. Zuccarello, I mean, you know, I understand that Kirill makes him, and he certainly helps Kirill. But again, he can't disappear. I mean, and he can't just become a passing machine. Look at Boldy. Boldy was a passing machine. Yes, he took some shots, but they weren't. But, you know, everyone with that team has talked about he needed to shoot more. Now he is, and guess what? They're going in. and he's playing with confidence. And I love that. But yeah, I don't see the Hartman line as like their top line. Like, I don't see that as who can you get with those two to create the top line. Kirill makes that their top line, but Kirill is, you know, so by far and away their best player. And by the grace of God, Boldy has discovered Johansson, and they've been great. So I just think that it's worth considering. But AJ, I'm going to be skeptical about Dean, especially for the playoffs, until he makes an in-game adjustment or two. Mm-hmm. And like tonight, he just wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't. You talked about this, but you're right. Marc-Andre Fleury, now 5 goals against, 4 in 5-on-5. But again tonight, without him in those first two periods, I think they're down by about 3 goals. How about you?
Yeah, he was the only reason that game was close after 60 minutes or 40 minutes of play. It was bad turnovers. It was sloppy play. It looked like they had all decided to pull an early April Fool's prank on each other and put clear tape over their normal tape jobs. And they did that to everybody. And it was like a secret Santa where it's like, well, I'm going to do it to Zookie and Zookie's going to do it to Brodine and all this stuff. And nobody knew that they actually had it on their own stick because they just couldn't hold on to the puck in their offensive zone. And at times, I thought I was watching the old Baywatch movie, Judd, because it was a lot of this slow motion movement, standing around, coasting. I didn't understand the lack of effort, I guess, is probably just the yep. simple word to go with. It was the same thing I was doing, watching the game. That's not what I want these guys to do. Close the gap on the puck carrier, close off a passing lane, help the Hall of Famer who's keeping you in this game against a team that's in a draft lottery race.
They're bad. Flyers are legitimately bad. You know what? I give them effort with Torts as their coach. They do try hard. But that was the thing, is it's like the Wild came off that great game against Jersey a couple nights ago and we're like, okay, now it's the Flyers. We can coast. And yeah, they didn't show up the first period. They definitely 100% didn't show, and they were tied after one. The second period, they had a long stretch of really bad hockey. And yeah, what alarmed me and what concerned me was their play in their own end in those two periods. And the first period was just, you're right, it was inexcusably bad. I mean, Brodin turned over the puck a couple times tonight. Brodin didn't look right. I was a little bit concerned. Now, he logged, coming back, he's been back, what, 3 games now, I think, from the from being out for an extended time because they wanted to make sure this time that they got him right for the playoffs. And he logged a ton of time and played a marvelous game against New Jersey. So that was the good part. And I don't know if he was just tired tonight or if something wrong again. Knock on wood, I hope not. But he didn't look like himself. And defensively, the breakdowns, and Fleury saved their bacon time and time again, were bad. Now, as I'm sure we'll see a comment or two as I scroll through the comments, I'm sure we'll get a calm down. It's one game. They still got a point. Things are fine. As of right now, because the second half of the ESPN doubleheader tonight is Penguin Stars. As of right now, if I'm not mistaken, the Wild is in first place in the Central Division by a point. Colorado, by the way, losing to Pittsburgh last night. So that is the good news. I was just a little bit alarmed that that the effort to use mine, mm-hmm. wasn't a little bit more there. And partially here's why. During the majority of this stretch, it's been my opinion, and I wrote this down after the first period of the Devils game a couple nights ago, AJ, that I've been just so impressed by how consistently that compete is there. Like, sometimes they play good, sometimes they don't, but you never feel like they're taking a night off. The last time, I guess, I had that feeling, we did the show together, which was after that OT loss to the Coyotes in Arizona. Yep. But this, to me, was worse than that, and that's another bad team. Like, you got to take everybody seriously. But that was my biggest letdown, was the compete has been so consistently there time and time again. And tonight it was just sort of like they, to your point, you know, just threw their sticks on the ice, said, all right, Flower, save us. And he sort of did. Disappointing. A fun game in the third. I thought the last period was fun. But before that, that was tough to watch. And I will be curious to see what Dean's post-game comments are. He might...
He might sugarcoat it, but I won't be surprised if he doesn't a little bit and just said, hey, we got to do better than that.
I had a real, like, it felt like a slap in the face. It was middle of the second period, and I'm sitting there, and quick tangent, but it's the year 2023,
all yours,
major broadcast, you know, corporations. If you're paying for rights to a hockey game, how do we not have a shots on goal ticker permanently attached to the scorebug? I had to watch two hockey games today, Judd. I think that's against the Geneva Convention, that didn't have shots on goal
count. I'm watching another one right now. Canisius and the Gophers.
And I will be joining you as soon as we wrap up here. It's ridiculous. I need to know. It's the same thing for pitch count in baseball. I need to know how mad I should be and who I need to be mad at. I noticed they threw it up about 7 minutes to go in the second period. 10 shots. They just cracked into double digits against the Philadelphia Flyers in the 72nd game of the season. That's unacceptable. In our emergency Kaprizov injury show, I mentioned I want them now to be shooting upper 30s by the end of regulation. They had to really turn on the Jets after that point, and they sure didn't. I don't know how you can, like, and granted, they forced overtime, and the you can argue quality over quantity, but I kind of want quantity to trump at some points. I don't understand the lack of compete these last couple of games. You can't just continuously go into games where you think on paper we're just a better team, right, and that's going to be enough. It's the NHL. Like, sure, you can, right, you can look at where they are in the standings, but you know these guys. This isn't like high school where it's like, okay, this team is 0-12 on the season. They don't really care. This is the National Hockey League. These guys are playing for contracts at the end of the year, especially if they need to negotiate extra signing bonus stuff, whatever. They want to perform. You can't just lower your level of compete to match these guys. Every point here matters, especially now. You're first in the division. Why are you laying it down against these teams that you should be securing? And I know they got a point, but you should be getting 2 points against the Flyers.
Yeah, and like a game like tonight, or to go back to what I brought up before, the last time that we did a show right after a game, the Coyotes game, you know, this whole, in my opinion, this whole hot stretch has been built off the premise that somebody finally got to the majority of this team and said, you're not good enough to play like you're good. Like, they've worked their asses off against teams. And that's got to apply to every team you play. Like, the mentality, what I've loved is they played with the mentality of how you have to approach the playoffs, which is, we are never safe. Nothing is safe. Nothing is a given. I don't care if it's our first line against their fourth line, we have to assume that we have to work our asses off. And that's what they have done for the most part. What previously drove me crazy was they played like they had talent, and not enough of them do. Like, they have, when Boldy's going well, he's great, but why is he going well? Because he's working his butt off, right? Mm-hmm. Zuccarello at times plays like he's super talented. You know what, dude? You might be, but you're not talented enough to get by without doing a much better job against teams. And I don't care if you're playing the Avalanche or the Coyotes. You can't change that, because the second that you do, and the second that you assume that you're talented again, you're going to slip backwards. And that's a problem. And with the playoffs now approaching, that's the most important thing, I think. It's not the opponent. It's the mentality about how you approach each game. I want to talk about special teams next, but before I do, big shout out here to my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. Helped me drop 40 pounds a couple years ago, or now a year and a half ago. And the most important thing is they're going to help you, Judd's Hockey Show family, keep the weight off. That's right. So it's not just a weight loss program. It's not a diet. It's Livia Weight Control. So it's a weight control. So you drop the weight, and the most important thing is the dietitian's there. They have a plan for you to keep that weight off. And now you're saying, okay, Judd, I'd love to join. Is there a deal? And I'm going to tell you, absolutely. If you're watching the show, first 8 weeks are free. Yeah, that's right. First 8 weeks are free. Imagine dropping just significant weight, 10, 15, 20 pounds. And by the time the first week of summer arrives, you're feeling good and you are looking good. 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com, livea.com, livea.com. All right, power play. I got a nitpick tonight, and it's another Dean thing. I want to run past you.
Okay.
I believe in three opportunities, including one at the end of the game and into a 4-on-3 in overtime. The Wild 0-for-3 on the power play, if I'm not mistaken here, if my notes are correct. One shot on goal. John Klingberg was scratched tonight. Something's wrong. Lower, yep. Upper, I don't know. I'll find it. I have no idea. It means nothing. He didn't play because something's wrong. That's the important line. Mm-hmm. And Goligoski played and Merrill played. I believe, I don't know who they were going to scratch, but long story short, if John Klingberg can't play, and I know Dean, I know it's going to kill him. I know he doesn't like this. Don't you want Kalen Addison running your power play? You know, they tried Spurgeon there at first. Then it was Goligoski. Why wouldn't you? Look, age. So if Klingberg plays, I can torture myself into saying, okay, I understand. Now, John Merrill, to me, rightfully scratched a couple games back. I would scratch him regularly. Like, I would pick between him and the Goose and say, which one is playing better? In my opinion, Goligoski has played far superior of late. So I would have scratched John Merrill. But am I smoking something here? Like, am I out of line? Don't you want a guy that knows how to run your power play, running your power play, as opposed to saying, we're going to go with our veterans? Help me out here.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The thing I have trouble understanding about this decision is it's a win-win for Dean Evason. In this situation, Klingberg is not playing. You start Kalen Addison, he plays poorly, and then you know what you say? Well, now you see why I've been scratching him. He just can't hang. Right now we have to reevaluate, blah, blah, blah. Or he quarterbacks your power play, things are buzzing, you convert, and you look like you have a little life, which they did not today. The later power play that they had that extended from regulation into overtime, 5-on-4, 0 shots. 4-on-3, 0 shots.
Yep.
If you're not playing to win the game, why are you not shooting? Kalen Addison is the guy there that you need on the ice in the lineup to help there. And if you have him in the lineup, there's the other part of the win-win. You can say, yep, credit to me. I recognize we needed a offensive threat. Klingberg was out. That's where Addison steps in. He was ready. Kudos to him. And then you know what? Once Klingberg's back, I don't think anybody's going to bat an eye when you maybe push him back on the shelf, but there's no reason to not have him in the lineup this evening, especially with the play that we've seen out of John Merrill, which recently just has been not good whatsoever. I agree with you, yep, fully. Alex Goligoski is the better of the defensemen right now, but John Merrill is not showing us what we saw maybe points last season that helped him get that that extension. So right now he should be a consistent scratch, and tonight has to have Kalen Addison in the lineup.
So the Flyers, I think one of their goals came on a power play that Shaw and Dewar were on for. And I see a comment here, and I don't know if the advanced metrics back this up, but I think it might be a good point, is that the Shaw and Dewar penalty killing team are having some problems. Yep. Good observation by Daniel M. The Shaw and Dewar PK tandem has soured. Nice work, Age. And I don't know what the metrics show on that. It feels like that might be right. We did a JHS yesterday, check it out. It was me, Declan, and Jesse Pierce of Bar Down Beauties, in which we got into who's going to be scratched in the playoffs, because I was coming off the Devils game and everyone was playing great. I said I wouldn't touch the fourth line. That being said, unless I'm just totally wrong here, and Daniel M is wrong, if Shaw and Dewar are if either one of them or both of them are struggling on the PK, mark my words, one or both will be in the press box for the playoffs. Probably just one. But the point being is that to me has been the calling card. And I love how they actually create opportunities on the PK when they're going well. But that goal tonight, there was definite confusion on the power play goal that the Flyers scored that they were out there for. And if that's going to be the case, then you are going to probably have a pretty easy decision because one of those guys will not be playing in game one of the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to listen to the full show. The part that I did yesterday, fantastic. Jesse's always great.
Yeah.
Talk about an addition.
She told me to shut up at one point too, which I absolutely loved.
Hey, sometimes you need that.
No question.
Personally, I would never say that. I would never
question about it. Well, and I wouldn't take it from you, but from her, I was just like, yeah, you're right. Sorry, sports dad. Sorry.
But it was a great conversation because at a certain point, you're going to get people back and healthy, and there's limited lineup spots each and every night. Gustav Nyquist, you acquired him, and when he's healthy, he's a guy that's going to help drive offensively, and I think you could maybe, depending on what some stuff looks like either on that first line or even a second line, I think he could look good with Matthew Boldy at a certain point.
But you can't take Johansson away from Boldy, can you?
And that's the point where I was saying at a certain point, because I would like to see if this is going to continue. If it stays red hot, and this is my big fear, this franchise record setting point acquiring stretch that they went on, was that too early of a peak for this team? Yeah. That's right before that final hump. Because how many times do you see a team get red hot that final week of the season and they carry all that momentum into the playoffs? Yeah. Did the Wild have that a week or two too early? Now all of a sudden you're dropping points to, you're dropping points to, and I know this was before, but the Coyotes, you're dropping points now to the Flyers. What do we have the remainder of the season? And then is there a big conversation of, Dean is finally going to be bold and shake things up? Could that be something? Or do you just try to make something happen with a third line addition where Nyquist slots in, where that's more than likely where he ends up? I think you got to take out. Probably Shaw, as much as I hate to say that. And I love what he brings and everything like that, too. But there's only so much room for a penalty kill specialist, and honestly, there might be nights where even you probably have to say, Revo, you're not playing tonight.
That's another question. Yeah. That's a legit question.
Yeah. You don't always need what he brings and everything like that to them. And I think he recognizes that. And I think he'd be fine with that. That wouldn't be a shot at his ego, despite how arguably offensively hot he's been the past week or so. But it's maybe Doer. I don't know. It's a conversation that I haven't really thought about too much just because it's close, but it's so far down the road, and he's not healthy yet. So I don't want to cross that bridge at the moment because they have been looking good recently. And I have praised him, I believe the past show or two that I've done with you talking about how good he has been on the penalty kill and how many times that he has bailed the Wild out after all of these dumb penalties they seem to continue to take.
The thing too is, and I'm not suggesting that this guy is going to be scratched, especially in the playoffs, he's not going to be, but to go back to the top of the show, the other really important thing is you've got to get Zuccarello going.
Yeah.
You've got to get Zuccarello going. I don't think he did much, if anything, in the playoffs last year, if memory serves me correctly. I know Fiala didn't, and I know Kaprizov was great, but that's another absolutely imperative thing. If Zuccarello lays an egg, you can't, because Kaprizov is going to be checked very tightly, assuming he returns, which if he doesn't, they're dead. But, Kaprizov is going to be checked very tightly, and you're going to have other players. Boldy's going to have to continue this. The actual goal-scoring heater might not continue where it's 8 goals in 7 games. But, I mean, Matthew Boldy has now set an expectation for how hard he can play and how well he can play and how confident he can play. And so like the scratching game is a fun game just from a personnel standpoint. But the reality too is, if you consider those, and you probably do, your top two lines, Zuccarello has to perform, and it can't be on the coattails of Kirill. It's got to be him as well. He's got to score some goals. So, all right, sir. Final thoughts? Or are you good?
No. Yeah. Just real quick on the Zuccarello front. It's hard to disagree with everything you said, because there has been a steep decline in what the production we've seen. And he did have a little buffer period after the injury of, he has to turn his game from a playmaker into a guy who's shooting more. And he did that, but we're just not seeing any results. And it almost seems like now it's become too reliant on, if Kirill's in the lineup, he's fine and he's beneficial. But as soon as you take him out or they're separated, I'm not going to say he looks lost, because it's still Matt Zuccarello and he's played so much in the league. And I think he still has enough in the tank to where as soon as Kirill comes back, I expect it to be like, you know, good old times, like it was a month ago, where they were just lighting it up every single night. But, you know, before the season and before what we've seen, I was nervous after the Paul Fenton original signing of him. Just like, is this guy really going to be the guy that they want?
Awful.
Yeah. Now I think now in hindsight, we know part of that was due to him. Was it a wrist injury or what? Forget exactly.
Broken arm in Dallas the previous season.
And that was still nagging. But now that he is, you know, I think it's safe to assume 100% or close to, with Kirill, he's great. They're a great pairing. Super fun to watch and beneficial on the offensive side every single night. But you know, when it comes down to later on in this contract, who knows what the conversation is going to be and how the front office goes about that. But I expect him to rebound as soon as Kirill gets back in the lineup. But right now, for what we've seen from him and how good the conversation has been around him, I need him to step it up a little bit more. And I know that's tough to say, just because I'm sure he's not going out there and not trying to produce.
Right.
But
right.
But I do need to see more, just so he doesn't get in a weird funk and get the yips going into the playoffs.
In the loss to the Blues last year in six games, Matt Zuccarello, 1 goal and 4 points in those six games. In 17 career playoff games over the last 3 years with the Wild, 1 goal and 8 points. They definitely need more production than that if they're going to be successful. All right, Age, thanks much. Judd's Hockey Show, I'm sure returning at some point very soon. Hopefully not to have to complain. Hopefully Matt Boldy stays hot, Kirill Kaprizov comes back, and the Wild wins. The good news is, as we leave you, depending on what happens in Dallas with Pittsburgh tonight, the Wild is in first place in the Central Division tonight. They do lose to the Flyers. We will talk to you soon.